Jane is only one of several Beaconites who have traveled to Transylvania to meet Unitarians from what we might think of as another time and another age. We are urban. They are rural subsistence farmers living off the land, using technologies our grandfathers left behind. Most of us have cash income to buy all of our food. There, even the highly esteemed minister is expected to grow the vegetables he needs and raise hens for their eggs. My visit in 2006 was in July, the haying season. I saw people loading their horse-drawn hay wagons by hand, forkful by forkful. In other parts of Eastern Europe, in Hungary, agriculture was as industrial as on the Canadian prairies. Huge fields of machine-planted corn. Yet in Kobatfalva, the fields were tiny and hand-planted. It is a world utterly different than the one we know. And yet we make connections. There are now 197 congregations in North America partnered with Unitarian churches. These are primarily in Romania, but also in Hungary, Czech Republic, India, Philippines, and Nigeria. These good folks work to transcend the sometimes huge differences in language, culture, and theology, to get to know each other, to learn from each other. And yes, we all call ourselves Unitarian. The Partner Church program celebrated its 20th anniversary last summer. Its beginnings were almost accidental. The president and the moderator of the Unitarian Universalist Association chanced to schedule one of their very occasional visits to Romania in January 1990. With them, they took an American congressman and a Canadian member of parliament. Their purpose was to confront the Romanian government about its plan to raise ethnic Hungarian villages. Many of them are Unitarian cousins. Nicolae Ceaușescu was one of the worst of the communist dictators. Bulldozing their towns was his way of enforcing integration into the Romanian mainstream. You may recall, though, that in December 1989, there was an uprising, and Ceaușescu and his wife were killed. The delegation arrived only a few weeks later, and suddenly they had new purpose. They wondered how to make better connections to congregations, not just to the bishop. During the Cold War era, participation in religion was discouraged. The seminaries were only allowed to train 2 new ministers every year. Ethnic minorities like the Hungarian Unitarians were persecuted. No interchange with the outside world was allowed. The sister church program between Unitarian churches that had begun in the 1920s had died away. Now the opportunity to lend a helping hand appeared, and the moderator started matchmaking. The need in the congregations there was huge. Church buildings had had no maintenance for many years. Many new ministers were needed, and the seminary was in poor shape too. Economic conditions for individuals were difficult, to say the least. Even small amounts of money that a church like Beacon could raise went a very long ways there. Beacon Unitarian Church raised sufficient funds to assist with repairing the minister's manse more than once, to build the Sacred Gate in front of the manse, and the bell tower for the church. We have also assisted in funding education for a few students in the village, too. And this rectangular cloth down here is a thank you from one of the grandmothers of the student that we helped. It was not only hand-woven, it was hand-spun. They made the thread from the flax. The folks there think it a bit ironic that we help them build a bell tower and we don't even have a building of our own. Things are changing in Romania, though. Romania has now entered the European Union, and the village has changed. Like rural towns all around the world, including the Canadian prairies, Kobatfalva is not the full-service village it once was. no longer is there a library or a store or a doctor's office. There is a church, a school, and a veterinarian's office. I am told that the new minister, who is young in his mid-30s, is re-energizing the congregation. We saw his photo on the overhead. He is married with two young daughters. He has started a youth group and a women's group. Before they moved in, the manse was renovated completely. When I was there to get hot water, you lit a fire in the little boiler. It was a hot water heater specifically made to put a little fire in the bottom. Now it's electric. And I saw Levanta has a Facebook page, and I'm now one of his friends. He has something like 600 friends, and he has more photos posted there than I do. Beacon's challenge, though, is now to rejuvenate our relationship, to renew it. I had been wondering just how long Beacon has been in this partnership. Much to my delight, just this week, Dennis Probst gave me the answer. On Wednesday, he asked me if I wanted a stack of old newsletters, and there I found my answer. In the July 1990 issue, the Beacon's board had voted to join the program. That would have been just mere months after the program started. Your then minister, Francis Rosen, started the personal visits that very summer. When I met Francis 5 years later in 1995, she was totally immersed, totally addicted to the partnership program. She was hosting at her small place a visiting ministerial student and helping her get some dental work done. The question I had was, what is the appeal of this partnership program? The barriers were and still are significant. And yet so many North Americans seem so committed to it. The Reverend Maria Papp, a Transylvanian minister speaking in Michigan just last fall, enumerated some of the barriers this way. She says, "We belong to a minority ethnic group, Hungarians living in Romania, feeling always threatened in our heritage and culture. A group whose loyalty for the state is always under suspicion and whose members feel many times second-rate citizens. For you as American citizens, this is hard to understand as you have the safety and assurance of belonging to your country, which is never questioned. We are simple people, with most of our congregations in villages, and most of our parishioners farmers, eking out painstakingly a living from the land. People who do not travel further than the nearby small town, whose dreams and aspirations never soar above the land that they inhabit. In contrast, you are overeducated, sophisticated people, with exquisite tastes, with many of you widely traveled and well-versed in the ways of the world. We live in a country so small that it is hard to find it on the map, and our language is so weird that nobody bothers to learn it. In contrast, your country is a superpower of the world, and your language is the lingua franca of today. We are born into religious community, while you have chosen yours. We have no choice in the matter, which is why sometimes we are so careless with our heritage, taking it for granted. While you give all of your best abilities to further the cause you have chosen. We are Christian in our theology. While many of you have left behind traditional Christian communities to search for your spiritual freedom, and for some of you, every reminder is full of pain. We put the community's needs before the individual ones, while for you the individual's rights and aspirations shape your community. We are poor people, with our congregation struggling to get along, while economically you are well off. It's all relative. We are traditional communities, she continues, trying to survive in this globalized world, which is slowly running us over, while you are a liberal community taking in its stride any challenge." Her answer to my question, what is the appeal that partnerships hold for North Americans, is that opposites attract. She goes on to say that after the first blush of love, then what? What do we North Americans get out of this partnership relationship? We would not be so involved if it were not so. The dean of the area, the Reverend Leos Lorinci, speaking last summer in Kolozsvár at the 20th anniversary celebrations, observed it this way. He used the biblical story of the Good Samaritan as his theological model. He realized that they, the Transylvanians, were the Samaritans for the North Americans. They have roots and history, fresh food for our spirits and souls. This point was made real for him when he saw a partner church minister stoop to kiss the floor in the church where the law of religious freedom had been proclaimed in 1568. Another friend that said that being in Deva, where the founder Francis David had died, was the happiest day of his life. Lorinci says, "From that moment we have gone together. We found each other and we hold our hands. We realized we are different, but we are also similar. We share similar joys and sorrows. We can be fellows, brothers and sisters. We can be workers together on God's field. We learn from each other that we are troubled people and Samaritans at the same time. Once we have been robbed, then we have to be the ones who help. This life is hard in Transylvania and in America, but it also makes it possible to live the law of love. We can strengthen each other in this." The Transylvanians, in their isolation especially, appreciate knowing that they are not alone, that they have friends who can help, who care. We North Americans find the history we didn't even know was there, and a connection to that which we hold most dear. Philosopher Richard Rorty writes about connecting with others not known to us. "The traditional way of spelling out what we mean by human solidarity is to say that there is something within each of us, our essential humanity, which resonates to the presence of this same thing in other human beings. But consider those Danes and those Italians who shielded their Jewish acquaintances from the Nazis. Did they say about their Jewish neighbors that they deserved to be saved because they were fellow human beings? Perhaps sometimes they did. But usually, if queried to explain why they were taking risks to protect a given Jew, they would have used more parochial terms. For example, that this particular Jew was from Milan, like I am, or a member of my union, or a dentist I went to, or a fellow bocce player, or a fellow parent of small children. Our sense of solidarity is strongest when those with whom we feel solidarity are thought of as one of us, where us means something smaller and more local than the whole human race." Rorty goes on to say that when we recognize our common human experiences through even a modicum of interaction, we realize that the surface differences like religion, customs, and language are much less important than our similarities. That label Unitarian is our connection, however tenuous, to a small ethnic minority in Eastern Europe. Reverend Bill Schultz, that minister who was in Romania 20 years ago, summarized it this way just last summer. "What we in the Partner Church movement have learned over 20 years is that if we can get beyond appearances and initial impressions, if we can look not just into each other's faces, but into each other's hearts, if we can burrow down into the very centers of each other's souls, we will find a common humanity that transcends language and ritual and clothing, and that encourages us to mourn together our losses and cherish together all that is radiant and noble and gracious and kind." I wonder if any of you might be interested in this kind of challenge. Reverend Levent Shaki, the minister in Kolbotnvá, wants to rejuvenate our relationship, and he knows some English. These are huge steps to foster the connection. There are opportunities to visit Romania in groups. One of the Partner Church Council networkers is working to organize a pilgrimage visit to this valley, the Neico Valley, in 2012, a year and a half from now. There'll be some group activities, probably visiting that prison in Deva where Francis David died, and other kinds of sites like that. And then there will be an opportunity to go to your partner village. There are resources, both written and human, to orient you to the task and to each other. For the past 20 years, much effort has gone into the reconstruction of buildings, whether it's the minister's house or the church or perhaps the school. Much of that work is now done. Now we look to focus on our relationships. How can we get to know each other? What can I learn and what can I teach in the interchange? If any of you are thinking about this, wondering about it, talk to me, please. Amen.